الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next attribute that we want to speak about today is amanat. Amanat means that a person is honest in their dealings with other people. Amanat means that a person does not engage in dishonesty or disloyalty or betrayal. They don't do khiyanat in that amanat. A very easy way to understand amanat, which normally in English is translated as trust, means that there is a person who places some confidence in you, and you fulfill that person's confidence inside you. And normally we think about amana, we think about wealth, we think about money, that you have with you some money, some wealth of another person, and you have that ikhtiyar, you have the choice to be able to make some modifications inside of it. However, you don't do this because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such a person in Sharia will be known as an Amin person. That person is honest, that person who safeguards trust. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this many times, and similarly in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a lot of taqid, a lot of emphasis and importance that we find. And one very famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that la imana liman la amanata lahu, that individual who doesn't have amana, then that person doesn't have iman. Yani that person who is not able to protect his trust, that person is not honest in keeping and safeguarding that trust, then that person doesn't have true iman. And this is a very strong statement. It can't get any stronger than this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked amanat with iman. And wala deena liman la ahda lahu, and whoever does not fulfill his promises, his pledges, his commitments, then that person doesn't have deen, doesn't have religion. So you see from this hadith of barakat, the religious deendar person is that individual who fulfills his promises. And iman, a person of iman, is that individual who does not betray his trust, who does not betray other people's trust, other people's confidence that they have placed on, that they have placed inside of him. And on the other hand, we find the alama, the signs of a hypocrite. And in one of these, the Prophet will mention three signs, that there are three signs that are present in a hypocrite. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, that when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, and when he makes a promise, he breaks his promises. وَإِذَا طُمِنَ خَانَ, and when someone keeps a amanat with him, then he does khayana, he betrays that trust, he is dishonest. That person who has these three signs, according to this hadith of Mubarakah, that person is a pakka munafiq. That person is an open hypocrite. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And this is also something which we are told, that when the Prophet passed away, the first thing that will be lifted off from this ummah would be haya and amanat. Haya, modesty, chastity, and this amanat, that a person is honest in their trusts. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these two things. That there will be a time, there will be people who won't have amanat, and they won't have any haya inside of them. And today, if you look at the society that we're living in, we see that zamana with our own eyes. Every single day, we hear, almost every day, we hear stories. It's something which is quite common in our muashra, in our society, And what is interesting and what is ajeeb is that you have people of kalima on both the sides, people with beards on both the sides, people with sunnah libas on both the sides, and still they do khiyana with others. They're still, you know, they're dishonest in their dealings. They're still disloyal. They still betray other people's trust. And why do we do this? Because we don't feel that importance. We don't know the importance of this attribute in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we haven't been taught the importance of this attribute. If you look at our tarbiyah parents, they don't teach this attribute to their children. They don't teach them what exactly is amanat, what exactly is honesty, what exactly is not doing khiyana in this trust. And you know, illa mashallah, we don't find such parents. And when we don't do that tarbiyah of our children, we don't try to explain this to them, they don't listen to this, then for the you know, for that we don't get that ahmiya, we don't feel that importance of amana in our heart. And this is such a beautiful attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised many blessings for those people who have this attribute of ameen, of amanat, people who are honest. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that those people who are, and you know, treasures basically, they have some wealth with them, and it's not their wealth, but they're responsible for spending that wealth. So that's basically today we can understand as the position of a treasurer or treasury. And if that person spends that money, which is not his, but he spends that money in a way that he is very honest in his dealings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every single penny that that person spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward that person for sadaqah, as if he spent sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such a beautiful, beautiful teaching in our deen, that it's not even his money, it's someone else's money. What he's doing is he's simply spending that money. He's simply doing transactions with that money, but he's loyal in those transactions. He does not cheat anyone. He does not deceive anyone while he is using that money. He does not steal that money. And whatever money that he uses in such transactions, then in the Book of Deeds, it's written that this person did sadaqah of that amount of money. Allahu Akbar. It's someone else's money, and this person is getting sawab for that. This is the deen of Islam, and this is what we have these teachings with us. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that that businessman, person who engages in business, or you can say trade, that person who engages in business or trade or commerce, and he also has two attributes. One, he is truthful, sadiq. And number two, he's ameen, he's honest. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise this person up on Yawm al-Qiyamah among the Anbiya and the Shuhada, among the prophets and the martyrs. He himself is a tajir, he's a businessman, he's a tradesman. But he has these two sifat, these attributes inside of him. One, that he always speaks truth. And number two, he's ameen, he's honest in his dealings. He does not do khiyanat. He does not betray. He does not engage in disloyalty and dishonesty. Then, because of these two attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him such a noble maqam in Akhirah that he will be raised up within the ranks of the Anbiya and the Shuhada. And if you look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even before the manifestation of Nabuwa, prophethood, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these two characteristics inside of him. Even the kuffar, even the Quraysh Makkah, the unbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah, they used to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these two laqab, with these two titles, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is As-Sadiq and Amin. He is the truthful one, and he is very trustworthy in his dealings with other people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always, even before the manifestation of Nabuwa, these were the two defining foundational sifat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whenever the Prophet ﷺ spoke, he always spoke the truth. And number two, whenever he dealt with other people, he was always trustworthy in his dealings. And if we, as the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, can also develop and work on these two sifat, these are so foundational, then inshallah we will see how much barakah there will be in our lives. There will be so much barakah in our rizq, because the rizq is associated with this, sadaqat and amanat. And normally if you look, if you ask, and we just reflect that, why do people betray? Why are people not so trustworthy? Why are they so dishonest? At the root of the problem, the root of the issue is that we have this greed for the dunya. We have this havis and hiris, this excessive love for the dunya. That every one of us, we just want to hoard more and more wealth. And this love for the dunya is the reason why we engage in such things, and why we engage in these acts of dishonesty and disloyalty. Now what we forget in the process is that our rizq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our rizq not in this world. Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, that your rizq is in the heavens, it's in the skies. Just like when you go to a bank and you open a bank account there, and then you keep your money in that bank account, exactly in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our bank account of rizq in the skies. And it's a place where there is no possibility that a person can steal your money, can steal your rizq. There is no possibility that the money can go in some other person's hand. It's being protected and safeguarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies. No person can reach there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq. He is the one, He is that being who's the provider of that rizq to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one in between, there is no intermediary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides that rizq. So it's not possible that some intermediary person can take away that rizq which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. It's not like some parcel, USPS parcel, that someone makes a mistake and goes in the wrong direction. Someone takes your own parcel and you miss it. It's not Amazon, or it's not delivery. It's not that kind of delivery. There's no intermediary here. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending that risk to every single one of His makhluk, and none of us can steal that risk. And if we have this yaqeen, if we know this with conviction and certainty, then we should ask this question, that why is it that we want to look into other people and steal money from them? Why is it that we have to engage in these acts of disloyalty and betray other people, violate other people's trust, engage in dishonesty? Why? Because whatever risk we have, that's already destined for us. When I try to get this, when I try to steal from other people, then I'm getting my own risk. That risk is muqaddar, it's already destined for me. But one additional thing that I'm getting is that now the stamp of sin is placed upon my face. That I'm now a sinner also in the eyes of Allah. So that person who knows with yaqeen, with certainty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of rizq, that person will not look at left, right and center at other people, and not look at ways how I can take, snatch, deceive and delude other people and get money from them. There's a true story. A person who was a government, had a government job, then he retired, and then on retirement he got about 500,000, you can say a large amount of money with him, and he thought that I'll use this money for some business. And he found a friend. Normally when you have money, you also, friends appear suddenly from nowhere. So this friend started speaking to him and saying, showing, you know, that I can do this with your money, I will do that with your money, I'll multiply this money, you give this to me, we'll invest, and then this investment will give us so much profit. He designed a whole profile, a business profile, than what we can do with this money. And he, you know, this person was a very, you can say, was a very simple person, and he just came, he accepted that proposal and he gave him that money. They started a partnership and said that you can invest this money on my behalf, I will be your partner, and he used to come to his office, and they used to both work. Now, this person who took that money, he from the very beginning, his intention was, it wasn't sincere in his intention. 2 years passed by, and after 2 years, he transferred all the money into his own account. And then one day he told the owner and said that all that money, all that investment that we made, it there is a loss, and we lost all of that money. So we have to close down our company. Now the person who was the owner of that money, he became very, he was very, not very worried, anxious. He came back home and he's crying and he's now all in tears, and he was, big suffering and sadness that this was my retirement benefit. I was supposed to live my whole life based upon this money, and if I hadn't used this money for some business, at least I would have saved this money, and this money could have been used for my children and for my other needs and my other necessities. Now I have nothing, and this grief was so much, it was overbearing, burdening upon him, burdening him. And then in that, he came to one pious individual, some a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he tells his whole story, and he's crying, and I've been deceived, I've been betrayed. So that person, and Hazrat, he gave him some tasalli, he gave him some consolation, and then he asked a question. So tell me, where does your risk lie? Where is your provision? And he said, I don't know. So then he explained that your risk, wafis sama yirizqukum, that your risk, it lies in the heavens, in the skies, and no one can steal your risk because it's there. And then he said that I'll give you two nasiha, two advice, two counsels. First thing is that you should go back and you should forgive that person, and you make your own intention that in my life I will not deceive anyone, I will not be dishonest with anyone, I won't betray anyone. Make that first intention. And number two, that you do your own, make some effort in trying to acquire some rizq halal. Do whatever you can. Just take that first step. Do some mihna, some mujahida, some mazduri, some labor. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give you as your rizq, you will get your rizq. So this person, he accepted this advice. And he came back and he was now thinking that what should I do? So he thought that I live in a village, and people in the village, they are in need of fertilizer, and they have to go to the city to get the fertilizer from there. So why don't I start this business? I can start this business. I can go to the company, the fertilizer company in the city, and take some fertilizers from them and then sell them here in the village. So he went to this one company. And he said that if you can give me some fertilizers on some advance payment, and after 1 month I'll return you your payment. And the people in the company, they looked at him, they said he's a very clean person, he's educated, he's also intelligent. So they accepted his proposal, and they gave him some fertilizer. Came back in his village, and he sold that fertilizer at some profit. And then he returned that money back to the company. And in this way, he continued for some time. And he continued until the company owners, they also began to have placed confidence upon him, and the buyers, the customers used to take fertilizers from him in the village, they also placed their trust upon him. Both ways, he was considered, viewed to be an honest individual, very integral, very full of person of integrity, that whatever he says, he does it. And then Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Allah Ta'ala placed blessings and Allah Ta'ala placed barakah in that business so much, he had so much profit that within 5 years he came back and said with his own tongue that now I'm an owner of 14 million. 14 million, this fertilizer industry, I'm an owner of 14 million rupees. And the loss that I had was just about 400,000, and now 14 million. So, a person might sometimes face some losses in this world, but this person's intention in the future was that I forgive that person, but I won't deceive anyone. I won't be dishonest in my dealings. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked about this person. And Allah Ta'ala placed barakah in that person's intention. And Allah Ta'ala then expanded that person's risk. And that is the reason why whoever does his dealings honestly, with honesty, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala puts barakah in that person's risk. And on the other hand, if a person tries to deceive other people, they're dishonest, then they get whatever risk was destined for them. They're getting their own risk, but they're getting also the punishment of earning in a haram way, in an impermissible way. So this is a very important aspect of our belief in Iman, this belief in Taqdeer, that we should have absolute conviction that I will get my risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, our Shaykh once gave a very beautiful example to understand this, that let's say a person, it's written in our scrolls that we will ride, let's say, a BMW. Now, there are multiple ways in which you can ride a BMW. You can sit in a BMW. One is that you become a businessman and you earn a lot of money, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you so much that you yourself go to the showroom and buy a BMW for yourself, and then you sit in that BMW and you travel. That's one way. Another way is that instead of doing business, you work in some government sector, and then you're promoted and you rise up higher in the hierarchy, and you become a secretary and finally a minister. And at that position, the government gives you a BMW, and then again you ride in that BMW and you travel. That's another, a second way. A third way is that instead of doing the work of the dunya, you actually engage in work of deen. You acquire ilm-e deen, you spend company in the sohbah of the mashayikh, you do their khidmah, and as a result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with ilm, with hidayah, with nisbah, and Allah ta'ala places you in that position of doing work of deen. And then Allah ta'ala gives you qabuliyah in doing that work of deen, and then wherever you go, people want to host you. And the host says to you that I just bought a BMW, and Hazrat, I want you to sit in that BMW. So he doesn't himself want to sit, but the host insists that I want you, the car is standing here, I bought this new, brand new, 0 meter car, and my wish, desire is that I want you to sit, and I want to drive you. So this is another third way. So first way that Allah Ta'ala can give you become a businessman, Allah gives you that car. Number two, you do some service at someone's place, you become a government servant, and Allah Ta'ala gives you that car. And number three, you do work of deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the opportunity to sit in such a car. And then there is also a fourth situation, that you're not doing any work of the deen, nor are you doing any work of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this person the driver. And as a driver, this person is driving that BMW. He gets the opportunity to sit in that car. So whatever was written in that person's destiny, that will have to be fulfilled. Our effort is just whether we want to sit as a servant, as a driver, or we want to sit as the owner. That's the only difference. Because whatever Allah has destined, that will happen. So when a person deceives other people, it's not that you're getting someone else's money. You're getting your own money. You're getting whatever Allah has destined that you will get. The difference is that when you deceive other people, then you will also, along with that money, you will also get the stamp of the sin in your book of deeds. On the other hand, if a person was patient, they did sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them that same money, that same wealth, but would give them through means that are halal, and would put barakah in that halal risk. So then if a person understands this, then there is no need for us to seek out unlawful ways or to look at other people's money, to have that hiris, to have that tamah and greed for other people's money. And what's even worse is that when you get such money from unlawfully, by deceiving other people, betraying other people, then that money is also goes away very quickly. You got it quickly, it goes away quickly also. And there's so many examples of that we find around ourselves. People, you know, someone earned his money in an unlawful way, he deceived other people, his business deal failed, and he became bankrupt. He had five containers that were stuck on the shore, weren't able to come. So what's the benefit? When that money brings bebarakati, then a person loses out anyway. So that person who is honest, he becomes the mahabub, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His iman also becomes kamil and perfect, and Allah ta'ala puts barakah in that person's risk. And on the other hand, that person is dishonest, disloyal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a danger of his iman, and then the person also becomes mustahik. He also becomes mustahik of the azab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that just take four things from me, take these four things from me, and you will get all the goodness and khair in this dunya and in akhirah. Four things. First is that always speak the truth. Number two is earn rizqi halal tayyib. Number three is have good akhlaq. And number four is that amanat ki hifazat, that be honest in your trust, be trustworthy. Whoever has these four attributes, then whatever happens to you in this world, apparent loss, you should not have any fikr, you should not be worried about that. Allahu Akbar. That's such a big statement, that whoever has these four attributes, then these four attributes are so powerful that it can make a person self-sufficient, independent of whatever happens in this world. But on the other hand, if a person doesn't have this honesty inside of him, then he loses out in this world, and he also loses out in Akhirah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, and this is the ultimate perhaps loss and ultimate failure that a person can get, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ, that Allah does not love those people who are dishonest, those people who are not trustworthy, those people who betray others. Allah does not love such people, does not like such people. Allah does not cast a gaze of muhabba on such people. And when you're not loved by Allah's path, that means that Allah is upset with that, Allah is angry with that person. So la yuhibbu, you know, this is what the deen is, that no one, any Muslim you ask him, no one wants to hear this laqab. They don't want to be addressed in such a way that we have to listen to la yuhibbu of Allah. This is the reason why we exist, is that we want to hear inna allaha yuhibbu, that Allah loves. That's the maqsad of, that's the goal of our life. So who would want to go near such a thing, which would make that person deprived of the muhabbah, the greatest thing that exists in this world, the muhabbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mahabubi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's another thing, that whoever is dishonest or not trustworthy, then in Akhirah there will be a punishment for that person. And this is an usul, a principle, that saza min jins al amal, that the punishment is also going to be like the same genus, the same type as the action, as the misdeed. So it comes that person who used to not fulfill other people's trust, the trust which is called amana will be placed at the bottom of the fire of Jahannam. It'll be, you can say, at the bottommost pit of that fire. And this person will be told that you have to go get that amana from there. And if you can take it out, then you will be rescued, you will be taken out of Jahannam, if you can take out that amana from there. So then this person will dive inside that pit of Jahannam. And he will keep on diving until finally he will get that amana, he will pick it. And now he will try to climb back, he will try to climb out of Jahannam. And the moment he's about to exit Jahannam, this amana will slip from his hand. And again it will fall down inside that pit. And again this person will have to dive down. And this is a sequence which will continue forever. He won't be able to come out of that fire. And this is how this person will be punished in Jahannam. Sometimes we might be partners in some business or in some dealings. And so Sharia also gives us a very beautiful principle there. And it's actually Hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when two people they join and start a business, then I become their third and I help them in their business. This is such a big thing. Then two people they start their business, Allah becomes the third and helps them in their business as long as those two individuals they don't deceive each other. They don't betray each other. So that if they don't betray each other, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. But then the hadith continues that when one person deceives the other person, betrays the other person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my help will stop. I no longer am the helper of these two people. My help goes away from that business, from that transaction. So this is again, it's a double-edged sword. That if we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try to do our dealings, our businesses, our interactions with amana. And even if it's two people, if we do this honestly and with we're trustworthy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will be with us. And on the other hand, otherwise this help will go away and be left to our own devices, just our nafs. In fact, there is a very ajeeb hadith mubarakah which mentions something about Mal-e Ghanima. And Mal-e Ghanima is the spoils of war, which actually is in the milky of the ruler, and he decides who will get Mal-e Ghanima. So once it happened that after Ghazwa-e Khaybar, there was a person who made some mistake in acquiring Mal-e Ghanima, in the spoils of the war. And he kept some money, something, some wealth, some portion of that wealth with him. He did not return it to the Baitul Mal. And this person, he also was not able, you know, he had some wounds that were inflicted in the battle. And because of those wounds, he passed away. When he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ did not pray his Salatul Janazah. And the Sahaba said that, Ya Rasulullah, he was a Mujahid. And he fought in the battlefield. And he was wounded. And because of those wounds, he passed away. So why aren't you reciting, why aren't you saying his Salatul Janazah? And then Prophet ﷺ replied, said, I know that he is a Mujahid, and I know that he was wounded, and I know that because of those wounds he passed away. But he made this, he took some Mal-e Ghanima. He took some money with them, which was not his. And because of this khiyana that he did, this dishonesty that he showed, I have been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to pray this person Salatul Janazah. So if a person who is does khiyana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger is being told not to pray Salatul Janazah for that person, then how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger do shifa'at of that individual in Yawm al-Qiyamah? Janazah is also like shifa'at, it's also like interceding. It comes in a hadith that person who's in whose janazah there are 40 people who are present, then because of those 40 people seeing this person's janazah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sin of the deceased. Forgives the sins of that deceased. It's like one kind of intercession, one kind of dua for that individual. And if the Prophet ﷺ did not make that dua for that person in this world, then how can we hope that on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ will give us that shafa'ah, will intercede on our behalf? Which means that this is such a severe sin in the deen of Islam that it also makes a person deprived in Yawm al-Qiyamah and deprived of not just the muhabba of Allah but also the intercession of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ. Now, then there's a question that comes up, that what exactly is dishonesty? And there are different manifestations of that dishonesty. This is not something which is only limited to a shop. This is something which applies to many, almost every aspect of our life. There can be dishonesty, there can be disloyalty, there can be people who are untrustworthy, not trustworthy. So this khiyana has different manifestations, and this is something which is very common, very widespread. The first way khiyanat manifests itself is in terms of inheritance. There is khiyana, there is dishonesty in terms of inheritance. And this can, for example, father passes away. and he leaves behind a lot of wealth, and that wealth goes in the hands of the brothers. Now the elder brother, he takes that wealth, he hoards that wealth, and he refuses to give a share of that wealth to his younger brothers. It's their right, but he doesn't give them their right. He doesn't give the right to his sister. They're asking. The younger brothers are asking, the sisters are asking, but he does not give them their right. This is doing khiyana. This is being dishonest. And sometimes it happens that people don't even give inheritance share to their mothers. This is khiyanat. The sisters are asking, they don't give it. The brothers are asking, they don't give it. The mother, she is asking, they don't give it. And they just provide excuses that I'm selling the land, and now I'm doing this, and now I'm doing that, and I'm preparing the documents, and years pass by, and they're just passing time. The intention is not to give. This is khiyana. Then sometimes people who are engaged in business or trade, they're also, khiyanat can be done in multiple ways. So for example, a person might make a false oath, and he might use that false oath to sell you something, to sell you his goods. And he takes that false oath because he wants to gain your confidence, that I swear by something that this is, and so that you become, you know, you place your confidence in that person. This is, and even it's a false oath. This is khayana. Sometimes people take false oath that, you know, you give me this good, I'll pay you back the money after 1 month. And their intention is never to pay back that money. So this is khayana. Sometimes people do khayana in terms of weighing. They might not weigh properly. They might not measure properly. This can happen especially in edible items. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Quran, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, that there is great torment and wail, you can say torment and loss for that person who engages in such a way that they weigh less. They don't give the other person their due. They measure less. Sometimes a person, they try to hide the flaw of their products. They hide their flaw in such a way so that the customer doesn't know. It's a low quality product, it's a cheap product, but they package it in such a way that they hide the original shape, they hide the defect. All of this is khayanat. Sometimes the customers, they ask for, show us the receipt, show us the bill. And the person, they might give you a fake bill. They might charge you or overcharge you. Or they might ask that, show me your original receipt. And they might show you a full price receipt, whereas they got that same product on a discounted rate. That's also, all of this is khayana. Sometimes they might sell you a cheaper product at a very high rate. They might present it in such a way as if it's very expensive. And this happens a lot in a lot of simple products. This happens in perfumes. It's very common. This happens in glass spectacles, glasses. That you want some particular brand, and what you end up getting is a fake or an artificial. You don't get the original, you just get a, you know, cheap copy, imitation. And today, mashallah, we have copies of copies. They ask you, especially if you're living in some third world country, they ask you whether you want the original, do you want the first copy, you want the second copy, you want the copy of the copy. You're like 3, 4, 5 copies now. And they charge you, they overcharge you. They might sell you a copy and they might ask you for the price of the original. Sometimes they just change the label. They say that you have these made in UK, made in US, made in Malaysia, made in China, and you want something, and if someone comes up and says, I want made in US, and they give you made in China. They just change that label and give it to you. This is also khayana. And sometimes they twist the wordings. And this happens quite a lot In manufacturing, in a lot of our products, the way they're sold, you will find on one product it says made as China. It doesn't say made in China, made as China. And if someone is less educated, doesn't know the nitty-gritties of law, he looks at that and sees made as China. They make you see the name of China, right? This is China, and you say it's a China product, and you buy it. This is khayana. It's as if people are doing PhDs on how to do khayana. Similarly, a person who is working someplace, who's on duty, they're also, the ways a person can do khayana with that duty, with that service that they're doing. For example, a person is working a set number of hours, 8 hours every day. Now those 8 hours are sold to that firm. It's not our time. We don't have choice in that 8 hours. It's because we are getting money for those 8 hours. And now if we use that time for our own activities and we're wasting that time and we're just futile talks and just wasting away that time for which we are getting money for, that's khayana. Sometimes it happens a person gets their salary but they don't do their job properly. Any people place confidence upon, people place confidence in that person, they have confidence that the person will do their job. They assign you a task. But then when the time comes for us to do that task, we don't go to the office, we are just sitting home, we are doing khayana, we are not reporting properly. Sometimes people ask for bribery, that if you want me to get your work done, you have to give me this much bribe. And they might change the name of that. They won't say bribe, they might change the name, that you have to give us some extra money, this fees or that fees, kharcha, kharchi. That's also khayana. Then if a person is working at a shop and their friend comes up or their relative comes up and buys something from them, now without the permission of their owner, they will lower the cost for that person, give them a very discounted rate. This is also khayanat. Or maybe you're traveling on a bus or traveling somewhere, and that person will say that you can sit here, we won't charge you the ticket. And he doesn't seek permission from the owner, from the malik. That's also khayana. Even in hospitals and doctors, the way they treat their patients, there is also a lot of dishonesty that can happen. Sometimes people have private hospitals, have to go there, and these private hospitals, just a means through which doctors and the whole system, they just want to extract money from you. For example, a patient goes and they're completely healthy and normal, but they get your ultrasound done and they say that we have to do a very big operation for you. You can't deliver your baby normally, we have to do a C-section. Because there's no need for a C-section. But they're saying this because they know that if you get the operation, then you can get more money. Otherwise, they can also do a normal delivery. So if a person does something like that, that's also khayanat. Similarly, if a patient, he can be healthy by just taking a few tablets. But they say, no, your sickness is very grave, very chronic, and we have to give you this injection. And the patient doesn't know better. He says that, you know, I've been given these injections, and it feels to him that as if a lot of work has been done upon him. This is also khayanat. And this is very widespread, very prevalent in our places. The people in his hospitals, they overcharge you. They overcharge you, they know that this operation is not required still. Or they might misdiagnose you deliberately. And then extract money from you. Similarly, if a person happens to be a manager in some firm, some organization, then it's very easy for that manager to do khayana. Because now all the pathways are open. He can say something to the owner, and he can say something else to the customer. He's the middle person. He can, when he has to purchase goods from one place, he can keep his profit with him. And when he has to sell goods to the customers,
he can do khiyana there also. Double khiyana. And this is not just, you know, high blue collar jobs. This can also go all the way down at the level of, you know, you have these repair car mechanics, and you could take your car to a mechanic and you say that I have this fault, and the fault is very minor. Maybe the fuse just blew off. The fuse is not working. Now, instead of changing that fuse, which cost very, it's very cheap, they might say, nay, we need to change this whole, you know, this shaft needs to be changed, and this part needs to be changed and replaced. And they might take that part out and clean it and polish it and then place that same part back inside your car and then charge you for that money. Charge you extra. That's baddiyanati. That's khayana. Or maybe the car, the AC of the car is not working. And again, the problem is just a minor fuse that needs to be replaced. You take your car to the mechanic and he says that I think the gas is not working. Because he knows that for charging the gas, that's going to cost a lot. So he takes the money from you for recharging gas, and himself, he just very conveniently replaces that small fuse and goes away. That's khayanat. In these items of, you know, electrical things and electronics, it's very easy to fool the other person. And that's why we see a lot of deception in this particular field. Because other people don't know. Right, there is a curtain that's before us, because we don't know the technicalities of how these things work. We just trust them, and they might deceive us. Similarly, this khayana applies in every aspect of our life. Very especially those people who are engaged in non-profit organizations. Maybe they are attached to some orphanage, or even religious institutions. They're running madaris, or masajid, or they are board members of a masjid. And such people are it's a very sensitive position. It's a very nazuk position, very sensitive, very delicate responsibility. Very fortunate are those people who can do these works properly and get Jannat. As Shah Abdul Rahim Rai Puri Rahmatullah used to say, that this task of overseeing masajid and madaris, I have so much fear of this task, such fear which I don't have for anything else. And someone asked him why, because he said that you get the money to run these masajid and madaris, but this is a big responsibility on your shoulder, and it's very difficult for a person to spend this money properly in the right channel. And if you don't do this, then this is khayanat of the ultimate degree, which is in deen, works of deen. This is also khayana. Sometimes there's some charity work, they give you money for helping the victims of some flood or earthquake victims, and they donate money to you. So it's lazim, it's necessary for us to spend that money on that particular purpose, for that particular goal and objective. If we don't, then we are doing khiyana. So you see, there's so many ways, and that's why we have to be very careful about this aspect of our life. Now, the last thing that we want to mention is that we look at the Salaf Salihin and their stories, so that we can understand truly who is a true mu'min. Who was, when we really were true Muslims, how ameen we used to be, how honest and trustworthy we used to be. And just even going over their stories, it's so beautiful that it creates muhabba in our hearts for them. And a person begins to wish and desire that if only we could also have that same level of trustworthiness and honesty in our lives. Then if we had that, you know, our dunya will become like Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no? He was sitting in his house. It was night time, and he was using the light of a lamp to do some work of Baytul Mal, some hisab kitab, some accounting. Hazrat Ali radiallahu came inside, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu opened the door. And when he came inside, so he asked that, "Oh Ali, how have you come? That have you come for some work of the Ummah, or have you come here for just for some own personal question, personal issue?" So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that, no, I've come here to discuss some personal matter. And when he heard this, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sitting close by, he folded his papers, and he blew and blew the lamp. Yani, he switched it off. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was surprised and said that, "Oh Umar, when guests they come to your house, you're supposed to light the lamp, not extinguish them." So Umar radiallahu anhu, he replied and said, "Oh Ali, what you have said is right. However, this lamp was running on the money of Baytul Mal, and it doesn't suit me, and nor does it suit you, that we are having this conversation discussing our personal issues while the money of Baytul Mal is being wasted on our personal talk. That's why I extinguished that lamp." Allahu Akbar Kabira. This was their level of honesty and their level of trustworthiness. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he was a tajir, and he used to engage in buying selling clothes. One time this woman came to him and said that, "I want to sell this cloth to you. This is extra and I need some money, so if you can buy this from me." So he asked her that, "How much are you willing to sell this for?" She said, 100. Imam Sahib Rahmatullah said that, "No, this cloth is expensive. You don't know the price of this cloth." So she said that, "Okay, 200. He said, "No, this is even more expensive." She said, 300. Imam Sahib said, "No, this is even more expensive." She said, 400. Again, he said that it's still more expensive. She said, 500. Then Imam Sahib said that, "Yes, 500. This is the price of this cloth. However, I won't buy this from you until you bring your husband." And he attached this condition. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that this cloth is not something that she stole from somewhere. So he wanted to make sure that it's pure, clean cloth. Subhanallah. How transparent they used to be. He said that, "Once you bring your husband, then I will buy this cloth from you. Just wanted to have a confirmation." And so she brought her husband next day, and he bought that cloth for 500 in front of the husband. That's how transparent they used to be in their dealings, how clean they used to be in their dealings. If our dealings also become like that, we can begin to enjoy the pleasures of Jannah in this world. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, one day he closed his shop at Zohar time, and he was coming back home. So someone asked him that, "Normally you close your shop at Maghrib, and why are you shutting your shop right now at Zohar?" And Imam Azim rahmatullah alayh said that in that zaman there was no light, so people used to work during the day. So he said that, "You know, it's cloudy, because of which visibility is very less, and there's a potential that my customer might not be able to recognize the proper quality of my products. And that's why I'm shutting my shop, because I don't want that my customers should be deceived. They might think that this product is expensive, and even though that product might be very low quality. So because of this, I'm shutting my shop. I don't want to deceive other people. Don't want to dilute them." So this is how our akabareen used to, our Salaf Saliheen used to be careful in their dealings. We'll mention one last story, which is very ajeeb. Inshallah, we'll continue with this tomorrow also. But this is a topic we want to we need to understand properly. This is the month of Ramadan, and these are the nights of Ramadan. These are the nights of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the nights of making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make dua to Allah ta'ala that, and to forgive us for all of our sins and for all the khiyanat that we have done. And inshallah, if you can make this tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can fulfill our past misdeeds. And inshallah, make this intention and pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the future we want to lead such a life of piety and taqwa. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act on these teachings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this attribute of sidq and amanat. May Allah ta'ala make us people who are as-sadiq and ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.